Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, which is about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. The Mishnah continues to discuss the halachas of a ben Sarah Meirah. And as we've learned, a child is not considered a ben Sarah Meirah until he first steals from his parents, and he uses the money to buy basar v'yayin. Teaches us the Mishnah, Gana mishal aviv ba'ochel b'shus aviv. If a boy stole money from his father and he ate the basar v'yayin that he got with that money in his father's rishus, or mishal acherim v'ochel b'shus acherim, he stole money from other individuals, not from his father, and he ate in the rishus and other people's rishus. Again, ain't necessary, but or mishal acherim v'ochel b'shus aviv. He stole from other individuals, but he ate in the rishus of his father. And all of these circumstances, as the Gemara will soon explain why, ain't nasa ben sarim meir. This person has not become ben sarim meir. Ad, unless and until sheyigna mishal aviv, that he steals from his father, v'yoichel b'shus acherim, and then he eats. He steals the money from his father, and then buys meat and wine, and that meat and wine that he buys, he eats in other people's rishus. Then and only then is he considered a ben sarim meir. Rabbi Yehuda speaks about a different issue altogether. He says he's not considered a ben sarim meir until the boy steals from both of his parents, both from his father and from his mother. So now the Gemara begins to explain the first din of the Mishnah. Ganav mishal aviv, v'achav b'shus aviv. If he stole from his father and then he bought meat and wine and ate that meat and wine in the rishus of his father, he's not considered a ben sarim meir, because afagav the shchiach lei, even though the money that he stole from his father is money that's somewhat readily available to him, still, therefore that act of geneva is considered an act that we should be concerned about, but still, since he's eating the food in the rishus of his father, in his father's home, his father will see what he's doing, and that will cause him to be buzzed, to be scared, and that will prevent him from not continuing to steal, and therefore he's not considered a ben sarim meir. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, if mishal acherim v'achav b'shus acherim, if he stole money from other people and then the wine and meat that he bought with that money he eats in their rishus. So here says the Gemara, afgav d'loy bas, here he's not scared, because he's not scared of other people like he is scared of his father. But still, since it's the money that's not in his own rishus, it's in the rishus of someone else, it's money that's lo shchiach lei, it's money that he won't readily have available, and since it's not money that he'll have readily available, he's not going to really get into this habit. Certainly, says the Gemara, if he stole from other people and then he bought the meat and wine and ate that in Rishus Aviv. So here we have all the reasons in the world to say that he should not become a ben sarim meir. Number one, because since the money was stolen from others, so it's money that's lo shchiach lei, it's not money that's really readily available, and we don't have to be concerned about a habit of stealing. And furthermore, since he's eating this food in his father's rishus, so he's going to remain scared to do this, and again, therefore we don't have to be concerned that this will become a real addiction. And therefore, as the Mishnah taught us, he's only considered a ben soirim meirer ad sheyigneh mishal aviv v'yoichel b'shus acherim. He steals from his father, so that's money which is readily available. And what he eats at other people's reshus. So since he eats it in other people's reshus, we have to be concerned that he's going to that he's not going to be scared, and this will become a terrible habit that we that could lead, as we're going to learn later in the Shurim, to becoming Rechmal Tzlan Aben Sayru Umayru. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda taught us in the Mishnah that he's not considered Aben Sayru Umayru Achyigna Mishal Aviv Mishal Imayru until he steals both from his father and from his mother. Ask the Gemara, Ima Manale, where does his mother have any assets that we could say he stole from her? Don't we have a rule that Mashakans, Ishakana Bala, whatever a wife has automatically becomes her husband's? So how is it ever possible that she should steal from his mother? So actually, the Mefarshim say that the Gemara could have given a somewhat obvious answer, that we're referring to a situation where the parents are divorced. And since the parents are divorced, she is able to have her own assets. There are some Rishonim, there are some Mefarshim, Daruch Lener, and the Meches Chinuch, that indeed suggest this answer. But there are many Mefarshim that disagree and don't accept this answer, because they say that, as we're going to learn in later in our shir, that the Torah says, "Einenu shemeya b'koleinu," that if the parents have to be, so to speak, on the same page, and they certainly have to have a relationship. So we're going to have a situation where the parents are divorced. Certainly, the child of divorced parents is not able to become a ben tzara meir, and that's why the Gemara didn't give that answer. Therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Chanina, a different answer. I'm Rabbi Yosef Chanina. We're referring to here about a suda, about a meal hamuchenes l'aviv l'imoy, that's already prepared for the parents. And since this meal is prepared for the mother, it's considered like her assets. And I saw in the Rishonim two ways of how to understand this Gemara's teretz. One teretz is that the father already gave, the father, the husband, is obligated to support the wife, and he already gave over this food to the wife for her dinner, for her eating, and therefore it's considered, that's why it's considered hers, and that's what the Ben Sayre Meirer stole. Others, however, explain that it's not that he actually already turned it over to her. Rather, what's happened here is that he told her that this is the meal that you're going to have. And even though he hasn't actually yet given it to her, but since it's prepared for her, and he's obligated to support her, as I said a moment ago, that is enough that it should be considered hers. And actually, this discussion has very serious repercussions in halacha. There's a famous Fasemis. The Sfasemis says that we know that the matzah that one is supposed to eat the first night of Pesach is supposed to be matzah that's lochem, that is owner, that the person owns the matzah. And therefore, he says that, let's say someone is having guests for Pesach, he has to be makna that matzah to the guest. However, point out the Rabbi Yosef Engel and others, that from our Gemara it seems that since this meal, once a meal is designated to be somebody's, it's already considered theirs. And that's why in our Gemara the meal that's designated for the mother is already considered her meal, hers, even though we're saying Kamashi Kansi Shikana Bala. And therefore, if food was designated for a guest, it could well be, even if the guest didn't yet take ownership, it's enough. And in fact, that's why I saw the Shalos Teshuvos Rivus Ephraim says that, let's say someone's a guest in a hotel for Yontif, and he paid for his meals, he paid to be a guest, certainly that is enough that it should be considered his, and that he should be considered his food, that he doesn't have to actually be kind of the matzahs to be yoitza the mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Omer Va'omer asked the Gemara, why is this a good teretz? V'omer Rav Chanan bar Meilad, Omer Rav Huna, ein chayiv at shiyik nebasa b'zoil v'yoychel, yayin b'zoil v'yishtev. It's not enough that the Ben Sarer Meir actually steals from his parents, but rather that he steals the food from his parents. He has to steal money, and here we're saying it's a meal to be that was stolen. That isn't considered an act for which he be chayiv ben sarer meirah. And the Farshim explain, the Yad Ramah explains, why does it have to be that he stole money? Because again, here, as we have been learning, we're concerned about an addiction, and an addiction is only a situation where he steals money. If he's just stealing food, it's not the same concern. Ela Ema, the way to understand the Mishnah, says the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's referring to dmei, money, dmei suda hamechanis lava v'limoy. There was money that was prepared that the father put aside, gave the mother that she could use for her meal, and then that money the Ben Sarer Meir stole, and then as we learned, bought with that money, he bought with that money meat and wine. That's why we have a concern. Ibai Seima, another way of understanding our Mishnah, is that's referring to a situation, the Aknele Acher, someone gave the mother money, and when he gave the mother money, he stipulated, Vamalei Amanash Ein Labalach Rishuspehen, specifically that your husband has no right to that money, and therefore even though normally, as we said earlier, here so will not be the case, because he clearly stipulated that the husband, the person who gave the wife the money, made a clear stipulation that she cannot have any, that the husband cannot have any access to that money. Continues the Mishnah. Haya aviv roitza v'ima ina roitza. Let's say the father wants to declare him a ben sarer meirah, but not the mother. Aviv ina roitza v'ima roitza, vice versa. The father wants and not the mother. Ena nasa ben sarer meirah. He doesn't become a ben sarer meirah. Achie shneim roitzim. Both of them have to want to declare him a ben sarer meirah. If the mother wasn't fit for the father, the Gemara will explain what this means immediately. Again, Ein Nas Ben Sarer Meirah. Ask the Ramai Ein Aruya, what does the Mishnah mean with Ein Aruya? Suggest the Gemara. If we will say that it's referring to Chayv Krisis for Chayv Mises Bezdin, that the parents weren't supposed to be married to each other because the marriage was Issachi of Karis or Issachi of Mises Bezdin. Saif Saif, Avu Avu Ninu. What's the difference? To his father, even though his father did the wrong thing in marrying this woman, and the mother did the wrong thing by marrying this man, these are his parents. So why should that impact on his ability to become a Ben Sarer Meirah? Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah means is, El B'shoviv L'Ov Imaykama. The Rav Yehuda is teaching us a very big chiddush, that to be considered a Ben Sarer Meirah, the parents have to be identical. And if they're not identical, physically identical, as the Gemara will teach us in a moment, he can't become a Sarer Meirah. Tanya Nami Hachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Lahoisa Ima Shoviv L'Iva Aviv, if the mother wasn't similar to the father, Bekol Ubamara Bekoimam, they have the same voice, the same appearance, and the same height, Ein Anas Ben Sarer Meirah, he can't become a Ben Sarer Meirah. My Tama, Dama Kro, the Pasuk says, Einenu Shemeya Bekoleinu. So they have to have a similar voice, and since if they don't have a similar voice, so since the pasuk requires them to have a similar voice, similarly, they have to have a similar appearance and a similar height. Even though the Mefarshim point out, we know that halacha is, we learned the Gemara Masechta Yuma, that the two seirim that were taken on Yom Kippur also had to be identical. And here we're saying that that they should be identical is difficult. Said in a farshim, it's easier for animals to be similar than for it's easier for animals to be similar than for people to be similar. Says the Gemara, Kaman Hazla Hadatanya, the following brisa that we've learned, that Ben Sarim Meir Lehoya never was, like Asid Leos will never be, V'lama Nichtav, and why did the Torah therefore mention the parish of Ben Sarim Meir only for Drosh V'Kabal Schar, only to get Schar? Kaman, whose opinion does that follow? It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because otherwise it's impossible ever to find a situation where the father and mother are physically identical. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim go on and say that if we were to find a situation that the parents were physically identical, there would be another concern. The concern would be that if a man and a woman have the exact same voice, it's very possible and likely that one of them is a Saurus or Islandus. And if they're a Saurus and Islandus, they're obviously incapable of having children. So that's why, according to Yehuda, it's possible to have a Ben Sarim and Meir. And the only reason the Torah mentioned this whole parasha is only for Drosh V'Kabal Schar. What pshat V'Drosh V'Kabal Schar? So I saw many pshatim. One pshat is the pshat of the Marshal, where the Marshal suggests that the reason the Torah taught us this lesson is to teach us the importance of chinuch. If we're not going to be mechanech our children properly, Rachman al Tzlan, we could end up in a very serious situation like having a child who's a Ben Sarim Meir. The Kli Yoker, I saw, says another pshat. The Kli Yoker says pshat that we are known to be Bonim Lamakam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. So one could perhaps think that since we're Bonim Lamakam, we could get away with doing whatever we want. Teaches us the Torah. Just because you're Bonim Lamakim doesn't give you a right to do whatever you want. You have to realize that if you act inappropriately, there's going to be repercussions. The repercussions being a child will be a Ben Sarim Meir. Another pshat that I saw, the Rebbeinu Bachaya says that who does somebody love? Of course, the one that we love the most are our children. And therefore, what wouldn't a parent do in the love for his child? Teaches us here the Torah that the love we should have for Hashem and for Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs is supposed to be even greater than the love for our children. And therefore, we have to be prepared, a parent has to be prepared to declare his son a Ben Sarim Meir if he isn't following in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Iba Yisema, another way of learning is Rav Shimon He, Tanya, this price that says there was never Ben Sarim Meir represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon says, is it because Jesse ate meat and drank wine over the ima metzinos l'skila, is he deserving death? Ela lehoisa v'loyosed liyos, it will never be. V'lama nechtav, why was it mentioned? Because Drosh V'Kabal Schar, they have to have just for the Schar. Another pshat that I saw is that the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson. The parents have to have the same voice. If the parents have the same voice, if they're on the same page in the chinuch of their children, then their child will grow up to be the way he's supposed to be. But if Chas V'Shalom, the parents don't have the same call, they don't have the same aspirations, and they don't have the same opinions as far as chinuch is concerned, they don't have kol echad, then there's a real concern that that child will end up being a ben sarir umayr. Om Reb Yonason, so says Reb Yonason, ani re'isev v'shaftov kivroi. There was a ben sarir umayr, in fact, I sat on his grave. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained how is this to be understood, that the Machloikis was there or wasn't there a Ben Sarim Meir. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Rebbeinu Bechaya. The Rebbeinu Bechaya says, Chassam Sofer explains to the Rebbeinu Bechaya, that of course Rabbi Yonason, as the Gemara is indicating, agrees that there was never a Ben Sarim Meir. But what Rabbi Yonason is saying is that he's referring to Avshalom, whose father didn't take proper heed of what was happening to his son because he wasn't acting appropriately. And we all know what was the end of Avshalom, how Itaka ended up. And the Rabbi Yonasan is saying is, it's not necessarily that he was actually a Ben Sarah Meirer. It was a situation where it wasn't stopped, as is the case of a Ben Sarah Meirer, that the inappropriate behavior wasn't stopped at a young age. And when the inappropriate behavior is not stopped at a young age, the repercussions and the consequences are quite serious. Nefarshim also ask that here he says that he sat on the grave, on the tombstone of a Ben Sarah Meirer. We know that one is not allowed to step or sit on someone else's matzeva. So how did he do this? So I saw a number of terutzim. The simplest terutz obviously is they didn't actually sit on the tombstone. He sat next to it. Another pshat that I saw is that a Ben Sarah Meirer is not buried together with his family until his body decomposes. So what the Gemara here means is the first he was buried in a special grave, and then when he decomposed he was taken to his family lot and he sat on his grave after he was removed. Another teretz that I saw is that even though the halacha is as I just said the one may not sit on anyone's grave, the halacha is that if somebody's buried in a cave, you could stand on the cave. And that's what he means, he stood on the cave. And yet a fourth teretz is that, of course, as we have been saying, one is not allowed to stand on someone's matzeva. But here, he was standing on the matzeva in order to make a point that everybody know that he was a Ben Sarah Meirer. And for that reason, you could stand on a grave. Continues the Gemara. Similarly, Taman Ozla Hodatanya, Erin Edachas, we discussed earlier the concept of Erin Edachas. Erin Edachas like Hosa, Velay Sidalias, it never was, nor will it ever be. Velam and Nichtava, and why did the Torah mention this? Drosh Vakabal Schar. And again, we have the same concept that Rabbeinu Bechaya teaches us here also, to teach us that what is the repercussions of a city that doesn't watch itself from not acting appropriately. The repercussions of such a city is that the city will end up being Oivdei Avodah Zarah. Come on, whose opinion does this follow that we never had an ear in the Dacha? Says the Gemara Belezer. Daniel Belezer Oimer, Kol Yesh Yesh Bafil Mezuzah Achas, any city that has even one mezuzah, Ein Anasas Ir in the Dachas, can't become an Ir in the Dachas. And as Rashi says, it's not specifically a mezuzah. If it has any safer in it, so will be the halacha. My Tama, why can't such a city be Ir in the Dachas? Explains the Gemara. Omakro, Vesklol Shalola Tikbet Zatoich Rechava Vesurafta Be'esh. The entire city has to be burnt. Kiven the Ikim Mezuzah. If there is a mezuzah, loy afshur, a mezuzah can't be burnt. For we know the Torah says, loy sasakein, lashem, aloy keichem. Therefore, such a city can never become an nidachas. So I saw that the Mefarshim ask that we have a rule that essay, doich alois essay. So why don't we say that the essay of Veskol Shlol Tikbitz al Toich Rechava should be doich the lois essay of burning of loy sasakein, lashem, aloy keichem? So I saw many answers. The Maram Shik answers that besides there being a lav for burning Hashem, anything containing Hashem's name, there's also an Isser Asay. The Pasuk says Hashem as Hashem al-Kechatira. And even though Esser Doicha Lois Asay, En Esser Doicha Lois Asay, Vasay. Doruch Lener answers that the Torah says specifically Veskol Shlola, if the shalol of such a city may not be burnt. But this is not considered shalol, it's considered shalol Hashem. Shalol Hashem, the Torah doesn't require, can't be burnt. Another teretz that I saw is that this concept that I just quoted of Esa Doicha Loisa Sei only applies if they both happen at the exact same time. As I'm doing the essay, I'm being over the lois assay. However, here, when one is burning Rachman Tzlan de mezuzah, he isn't yet being over. When one is doing the lois asay of burning the mezuzah, he isn't yet doing the asay, because the asay is only mekayim when the entire city is burnt, and therefore this is not a circumstance of eser doicha lois asay. And the fourth teretz is that the Gemara says that any lois asay that applies in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't say eser doicha lois asay, and the lois asay of loisasu kein l'shem l'keichem applies in the Beis HaMikdash, not only outside the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we can't apply the concept of Eser Doicha Lois Asay. I'm Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason says, Aniri Isia, I did see such a city, Bishafta Tila. And again, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar and the Samsoif explained, not that there actually was such a city, but he said there was a city that let itself act inappropriately, and that was, it had a very bad ending. Continues the Gemara. There's another Braisa. Bayis HaMenuga. The Torah speaks about a parasha of Bayis HaMenuga, a tsaras in a home. Says the Braisa, Bayis HaMenuga, Lohayad never was, for Lohayas Elias will never be, for Lama Nechta Drosh for Kabul Schar. To teach us the various lessons of Nagoyim. Kaman, whose opinion is this foul? Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Omer, La'olam ein abayis tamei, a house can't be considered bayis hamenuga, ad shiyir k'shtei grisim al shtei avonim, until there's a nega that's the size of two grisim. A gris is typically the size of a dime on two walls. B'shtei k'solim b'keren zovis, the two walls have to be in a corner. Orcha k'shnei grisim, the length has to be the length of two grisim, v'rachboy, and the width of this nega has to be the width of a gris. Ask the Gemara, my tam the Rav Lezer of Shimon, k'siv kir, and one pasuk the Torah says that the nega should be on a wall, v'ksiv ki rois, it says on two walls. So is it on one wall or on two walls? Says the Braisa, ezekir shuki ki rois, where do we have a circumstance that one wall looks like two walls? Says the Gemara, have oimazek karen zavis. Tan, however, says the Gemara, there's another Braisa that does clearly seem to indicate that there was a nega b'bayis, because Amar b'lezer of Tzadik, Makam hayu b'tchum Aza, there was a place in Tchum Aza, v'ikarna se'churba segirta, that it was called churba segirta, because it was closed up because of Nagon. Amar of Shimon ish kfar Akka, Pam achas halachti legolu, for isi makam shemit sain and oisoi, and went to the Golan, and I saw a place that was being marked. Vamru, avonim megoyes pinel l'sham, why is it being marked? Because they brought stones from a house that had a nega. Again, clearly indication that the goyim did exist. Says the Mishnah, haye echemehem, if one of the parents was a gidem or a chiger, missing a hand or missing a foot, ay ilaim, ay suma, ay chirish, mute, blind or deaf. Here the Mefarshim point out that even though normally cheresh throughout Shas means eino shomeyav, eino medaber, here an ilay means someone who can't speak, and a cheresh means someone who can hear. If those are the parents, eino nasa ben tzara meira, the child doesn't become ben tzara meira. Interesting pshat from the Meiri. The Meiri says these people are, so to speak, cruel individuals because they're never handicapped, and therefore they're broken people, and therefore again they're not considered regular parents, that the children should be considered, can be considered a ben tzara meira. Shenema, how do we know these halachas? Shenema v'tosu by aviv imay, the parents have to be able to grab him. Like Gidman, people who are missing hands obviously can't do so. For tziyosai, they have to be able to carry him out. For like chigrim, not if they're lame. For omru, they have to be able to speak. For like ilmim, not if they can't speak. B'nei nuzet, they have to be able to point to their son. For like sumim, not if rechman slon, they're blind. Aneinu shemei b'kaleinu, for like harshim, not if they're deaf. Again, Mefarsh make an interesting observation. The pasuk says, aneinu shemei b'kaleinu, the pasuk's not speaking about the parent. The person is speaking about the child. Here, yet, we're applying it to the parent. Says the Beis Yisrael, in the name of his father, the Emery Emes, he says that if one wants to be properly give Musar, he has to put himself in the shoes of the person that he's speaking to. And therefore, if the parents aren't the same as the child, the parents, for example, as we just learned, are blind or deaf, they can't put themselves in the same shoes, in the same place as their son, and therefore their son will not become a Ben Sarim Meir. Masim Rabba Fnei Shloisha, or Malkan Asai. The way Rashi explains it as follows. The parents, even though the Hasra, the Mishnah says Hasra is required, and that Hasra is given by the parents, even though the parents obviously can't give a proper Hasra, number one, their parents. Number two, we're not yet quite sure that this child is going to do this Aveira. But this is the type of Asra that's given here, in front, as the Gemara will teach us soon, in front of two Edim. And then after Bezdin accepts this testimony, Malkan HaSoy, they give him Malkus. Chaz V'Kilkel, if he continues acting inappropriately, then Nidin Bezdin V'Shloisha, he's brought to a Bezdin of 23 members. V'Einan Niskel Achei Shom Shloisha Rishonim. The three original Dayonim have to be part of the Bezdin of 23. Shnema b'neinu zeh, zeh shalokim b'fneichem, the one that already got Malkus in front of you previously. Says the Gemara, Shmamina, from the fact that our Gemara takes every word of the Pasuk and defines it so carefully, don't we see that Brina Krakut Iksuv? We've already discussed previously that there is a question. When the Torah says a pasuk, does it have to be exactly as the Torah says? And from here, the fact that the Mishnah is going out of its way to say that we have to follow exactly everything that the Mishnah says, it's a clear indication that we need kra kedeksiv. Says the Gemara, no, shani hacha. It doesn't necessarily have to be that the halacha is kra kedeksiv. Rather, here, Kule Kro Yaseiru. The entire pasuk is superfluous because the pasuk could have mentioned the procedure of the Ben Sarim Meir without mentioning all of these details. The fact that the Torah mentions all of these details, it must be because the Torah wants that these details should be fulfilled if we're going to declare this boy to be a Ben Sarim Meir. So Mishnah said, O Masrin Bifnei Shloisha, we warn him in front of three Dayanim, and then he gets Malkus. Lomeli, ask the Gemara, it seems that we have to warn him in front of three people. Why do we have to give Asra in front of three people? Betray Sagya, why aren't two people enough to give warning in front of? Answers the Gemara, Mabaya, indeed, that's what is to be understood. Hachkama, Masim Babafnei Shnayim, that Asra is given in front of two people, who then come and testify in front of Bezdin, and when Bezdin hears the testimony, then Malkanos b'fnei Shloisha, we give him Malkus in front of three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, Malkus b'ben Sarim Meir hech k'siva. Where does the Torah use the words Malkus, that if ben Sarim Meir should get Malkus? Answers the Gemara, Kid Rav Avuah, as the Rav Avuah taught us. Dama Rav Avuah, Lamadna V'Yisru V'Yisru. The Torah says the words V'Yisru by the parasha of Ben Sarim Meir. The Torah says the words V'Yisru by the parasha of Ben, of Maitzi Shemra. And then continues the Gemara V'Yisru M'Ben, because the Pasuk uses the word V'Yisru by the parasha of Ben Sarim Meir, where of course the Torah also uses the words Ben. And then the Torah says Ben Miben in the parasha Vayi Ben Hekai Sarasha, which is the parasha that teaches us the Chi of Malkus. So we learn Gzeres Shava from Ben that Ben Sarim Meir gets Malkus, and then we learn Gzeres Shava Yisru V'Yisru, that just like a Ben Sarim Meir gets Malkus, so too does a mighty Shemra get Malkus. Although I saw that the Mefarshim point out that the point that our Gemara is making, that a Maitzi Shemra gets Malkus, is not really relevant to our Gemara. Really, all we're trying to prove is that a Ben Sarim Meir gets Malkus, as does a Ben Hekus Rasha. The Gemara also happens to teach us the halacha of Maitzi Shemra. Interesting question that the Miches Chinuch poses. What would be the halacha if Bezdin paskin that this boy should get Malkus, and he runs away, and while he runs away he continues acting inappropriately, so now he's brought to the Bezdin of 23, who is declared to be a full-fledged Ben Sarim Meir? Do we say that since he never actually receive the Malkus, we can't put him to death, because we can't put him to death unless first he received Malkus, or is the actual receiving of the Malkus not actually pertinent and required that he should be able, that that should prevent him from getting Misa. We learned in the Mishnah, Chaz v'Kilkel, Nidin v'Esrish Laisha. If first he was taken to Bezdin, got the Malkus, and then he continues, we bring him to a Bezdin of 23. Well, we learned in the Mishnah that in that Bezdin of 23, three Dayanim who were there originally have to be there also. Those original three Dayanim, and then he's killed. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk said, B'neinu Zeh, this boy that you already met previously when you gave him Malkus. Ask the Gemara, Hamibayilei Zeh V'lo Tsumen, do we need that Pasuk to teach us the Halacha Zeh and not Tsumen? Answer the Gemara, Inkein Lichta B'neinu Hu, my B'neinu Zeh, Shema Minotarti. As Mefarshim explained the Gemara, the Pasuk could have just said, B'neinu Sayer Umayru. Why did the Torah say B'neinu? So the Torah has an extra word. So if the Torah would have just said the word B'neinu Hu Ben Sarah Meirer, then we would have learned that you have to have the three original Dayanim. But the Torah, but not using the word Hu, rather using the word Zeh, is here to teach us both halachas. Number one, that you have to have the three original Dayanim as members of the Bezdin of 23, and B'neinu Zeh V'loy Sumen. Says the Mishnah, Barach, if the Ben Sarim Meirer escaped from Bezdin, actually Nigma Dinai, before Bezdin was able to paskin that he was a Ben Sarim Meirer, and then, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek, a boy cannot be declared a Ben Sarim Meirer after Hikiv Zaken Atachten, and it was Hikiv Zaken Atachten, and then he's captured. Since at this point he is now too old to be a Ben Sarim Meirer, Potter, he's not going to be a Ben Sarim Meirer. However, if after there was a psak that he's a Ben Sarim Meirer, then and only then he ran away, and then while he's while he's a fugitive, he becomes too old, since he was already declared to be a Ben Sarim Meirer, teaches us the Mishnah, here is Chayiv, he retains that Chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amram Chanina. We know, says Rav Chanina, that a Ben Noach, as we learned earlier, Sugyos, may not be Mevarach Hashem. And therefore, says Rav Chanina, Ben Noach Shabirech Es Hashem. If a Ben Noach has Hashem cursed Hashem's name, Vachach Nizgayr, and then he becomes a Ger, he's Potter. He will not get Misa, even though a Ben Noach that Mevarach Hashem is Mechui Misa. Why? Says Rav Chanina, for two reasons. As we've learned, the way a court case for Ben Noach is conducted and the way a court case for Ben Yisrael is conducted are very different, with the number of Dayanim, with the rules of testimony, with the rules of who could be an aid, and Nishtanim Yisrael. A Ben Noach, if he does in a very Chayiv Sayif, Misa Sayif, a Ben Yisrael who's Mevarach Hashem is Mechuyu Misa Skila, and therefore this Ben Noach and Mizgayir will not get killed. Says the Gemara, name of Messiah, perhaps our Mishnah can be a proof to Rav Chanina's din, because our Mishnah said Baruch Atchalay Nigma Dinoi, if he ran away before his din Torah was paskin, and then he became Hakiv Zaken Atachta Potter. My Tama, what is the reasoning of our Mishnah? Laugh, Mishnamina Hoyal Vishtani Ishtani. He's no longer the same individual. He's now Hikav Zakar Atachtan. So isn't that a raya to Rav Chanina's point? Says Maraloi, Shani Hacha. Our Mishnah cannot be used as a raya. Because our Mishnah, he offered Hashta Labak Talahu. Now he's too old at all to become Ben Sarim Meirer. Whereas the Ben Noach, who was Mizgayer, is now he's a Jew, but he still has, of course, the Isser of being Mevarech as Hashem. So now the Gemara actually attempts to ask on Rav Chanina from our Mishnah. Toshma, we learned in our Mishnah, in Mishnah Nigma Dina Barach, if after the din was finished, he ran away. Vakach, Hikiv Zokan Atachten, the halacha is that he's Chayiv. So we see that even though his situation changed, he still remains Chayiv. Answer to Gemara, you can't bring a, that's not a question, Rabbi Chanina. Nigma dino, comrade? Once it's nigma dino, gavik tilahu. As far as the aloch is concerned, he's already considered dead. And that's why it's not considered a situation of ishtani. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring a kasha, Rabbi Chanina, from the following braisa. Says in a braisa, Ben Noach shehikas chaveroi. If a Ben Noach killed someone else, killed another Ben Noach, or Ubal Eshes chaveroi, he had relations with a Eshes ish of Bas Noach, then his gayer, and then he becomes a ger, potter. However, us can be Yisrael, if he killed a Jew, or he had relations with Eshes ish of Bas Yisrael, then his gayer chayev. For my, why don't we say, hoil vishtani ishtani, he's misgayer. And Bechnina said a concept that he's not the same individual, so that he should not be chayiv. Answers the Gemara. When does Rav Chanina's din apply? Specifically, dinai umisasa b'inai. That the way his din Torah is conducted, and the type of misa he receives, changes also. For hai, here, yes, this person was misgayer, and therefore dinai ishtani, the way his court cases are conducted, changed. However, misasoi lo yishtani. The type of misa doesn't change. In both situations, he has the same form of execution, and therefore, the din of ishtani doesn't apply. Says the Gemara, let's think about this. Bishlam Ritzayach, in a case of murder, mikarasayif, when he killed as a ben noyach, his misa sayif, fahashta, and now his misa sayif. However, asked the Gemara, Eishes ish, mikara, when he, ben noyach, that is mezana, mezasa yisayif. For hashta, if he's a Jew, his misa is chenik, so why do we say ishtani? Answers the Gemara, it's referring to a situation where the guy had, where the ben noyach had relations with a Jewish nara marasa, which we learned earlier in our Masechta, that since Erisin, the concept of Nara Marasa is not applicable by Bnei Noach. So there, a Ben Noach who has relations with a Jewish Nara Marasa is Chayiv Skila, and therefore his Misa is the same before he's Megayer, and after he's Megayer, his Misa is always Idivi Idib Skila. Ask the Gemara, V'asa came b'Yisrael, let's look at the Braisa. The Braisa first spoke about a Ben Noach who had relations with the wife of another Ben Noach. And then the Braisa spoke about Dumi de Eshes Chaverik Tani. The case of Yisrael and the case of Ben Noach are the same, where it's a full-fledged wife, not Erisin. Answers the Gemara, a different Eretz. Ela kala b'chamura meshech sheche. The Gemara now is following the opinion of the Rabbanan, where Chenek is considered a less severe misa than Saif. So if a goy, a ben noyach, did an avera, for which he's chayiv, Saif, included in misa Saif, is misa schenik, given that misa schenik is a lesser misa, a less severe misa, than misa Saif, and therefore, it's not considered that he's misa changed, because chenek is less than sayif. Certainly if he got sayif, he should get chenek. Ask the Gemara. This entire teretz is only acceptable. This is fine, and we follow the opinion that say that sayif is a more severe misa. According to Shim that says chenek is considered a more severe misa. We're back to where we started. We can't say this concept. Answer the Gemara. Rav Shimon is going to have to explain that this braisa follows the opinion Sobel Ketan Bei Menashe. The Gemara Kam Misa Amur Bnei Noach Al Chenek. A Ben Noach always gets Chenek. So his original Misa was Chenek, and now after he's Megayer, his Misa is Chenek. So even though Dina Ishtani, the way his court case is conducted, changed, his Misa didn't change, and therefore even Rav Chanina will agree that he's still subject to Misa. Ask the Gemara, let's continue analyzing. Bishlam Eishes Ish, in the case of Eishes Ish, this all works. Because Mikara Chenek, Vashta Chenek. As Ben Noach is Misa, according to Tana B'nai Menashe, it's Chenek, and now it's Chenek. El Ritzayach, let's think about it. Mikara, while he was a Ben Noach, his Misa would have been Chenek. We're following that opinion of Tana B'nai Menashe. Vashta, now as Yisrael, his misa for murder is sayif. So we have the situation of Ishtana Dina, Ishtana Misasa. Answers the Gemara, according to the opinion of Rav Shimon. The opinion of Rav Shimon is that sayif is considered less than, according to Rav Shimon, chenek is more than sayif. So if he would have done it before, he would have gotten his, so now his type of misa hasn't really gone down, because previously he would have gotten sayif, and now he's getting chenek, which chenek is considered more. So he hasn't. We say the concept of maishi shaychi. Ask the Gemara, lema masayle. Let's say that the following brisa is a right to Rav Chanina. It says in a brisa that if a girl, as we have been learning, was mezana, as in nara marasa, hamisa skila. So let's say sarcha vakach bagra tidem bechenek. If before she could be sentenced, she became a begeris, and the din of a nara marasa doesn't apply by begeris, so now she'll get chenek, not like a nara marasa. The skila my tamaloi, why will she no longer get skila? Lamishum, because we apply the concept of hoil vishtani ishtani. Certainly, in a case of ben noyach, which is even more of a change, when the change the Gemara suggests between a ben noyach who was megayer versus a nara marasa who became a begeris, the nara marasa who became a begeris is less of a change than the ben noyach who was mezgayer. So we're going to apply, to suggest the Gemara, if we're going to apply the concept of ishtani by a girl who became a begeres, we certainly should apply the concept of ishtani by a ben noyach who was megayer. Says the Gemara, this proof isn't a valid proof, because hamalei Rabbi Yosef Latana tani tadne beskila. Actually, the halach is that a nara marasa who was mezana as a nara and then becomes begeris, gets skila. So, if anything, we don't see from this brisa the concept of ishtani, and therefore we can't use this brisa as a raya to what happens when a ben noyach was megayer.